This evening, particularly this ministration of the Word of God, I come to ask for fresh mercy, Lord, and unction, Lord, under the authority of the name of Jesus and under the covering of our spiritual fathers, that you will anoint me afresh, and Lord, I will speak this evening as an oracle of God, so that your word will flow out of me, Lord, in purity, in power, in clarity, and in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And it will accomplish an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, so we might be blessed in all of our deed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth under covering of our fathers, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be opened, let deaf ears be unstopped. Help us so that, Lord, strength will come into our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to mount up on eagle's wings, to run and to walk into the fullness that you have ordained for us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because as we go forth, thank you because, Lord, every hindrance that is limiting us, you will remove, so that, Lord God, there will be an enlargement of the place of our tent, a stretching forth of the curtain of our habitation, Lord, and a pressing in to the things that you have in store for us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful, to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time. Not speaking unnecessary things, but Lord, saying only those things that you would have me say. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this world things new and old, and open heavens through which your word will flow from you through me to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, it's a really great privilege for me to be here to minister the word. And I want to say thank you to God for his mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies. Amen. And really want to thank Pastor and Mommy for the trust and for the love, and indeed for the atmosphere that they've created through their lives over years, you know. And we have drunk and we are still drinking, amen. And it's because of these fountains of life, pure chalices that God has created, that we, our lives are being transformed, and we can also bring this kind of word to you today. And I trust that the word will be a blessing to them, to bring them refreshing, to bring them joy and encouragement and strength, and also you, my brethren, to strengthen us to continue to press on, because we're so close, and so we can lay hold upon all that God has in store for us, and fulfill that which was written of us in the volume of the book, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's great to be in God's presence, and it's great to be here with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord has dropped a word in my heart today, and as I was sharing it, as I was preparing, the Lord took me to thank God for fathers. Amen. Let's just give a hand to Pastor Amomi. Amen. That's amazing, you know. So I was just working on that. I got stuck, to be honest. I just got stuck wondering, Lord, I don't understand. Where is this going? And I said, okay, fine. Let me show you where I'm going. Now go to Weekly Rema. And it took me to Levites, Priests, and Kings. You can check that. You know, that was in 2012. All right. And then Honoring Fathers, Overcoming the Resistance to Fathers. And that was in 2018. And that's, so I'm really echoing what the fathers have said. But I believe that it's a word that is present for us today. It's entitled, Saving Us to the Uttermost. Saving us to the uttermost. God is able to save us to the uttermost. The uttermost means that no matter how bad, no matter how far, no matter how low, no matter how poor, God will raise it, change it, save it, build it, and then put his glory on it. so that you will not recognize the finished product from the raw material. That is saving us to the what? Uttermost. Uttermost is the guarantee that we are going to make it, brethren. We're going to make it. So tell your neighbor, I'm going to make it. It's not cliche. You're not going to make it because you want to make it. You're going to make it because the person who is backing you has so much. He's giving so much and he's willing to give so much more. It's impossible for you to fail. The only thing is your will and mine. But if it's about resources, it's done. It's a done deal. He can do anything that is needed at any time. The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? Is it principalities? Is it powers? Is it things present? Is it things to come? Even things that have not imagined. No, whatever problems have not yet arrived. God is telling you that he's more than enough to take us over it and bring us into what he said. Did he not bring the children of Israel into the promised land? If he brought them into the promised land and they are a type, we are coming in. He brought us out to bring us in. We're not perishing in the wilderness. Amen. Amen. And let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 24 to 26 very quickly. If I look at the time. Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. Then he said, I can't hear you. Then he said, solemnly I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable and welcome. I think it's amplified. In his own hometown or country. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heavens were closed up for 3 years and 6 months, so that there came a great famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was not sent to a single one of them, but only to Zarephath in the country of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. That gives you the impression that God selected the widow. He did not. The condition was open to everybody. It was the widow that fulfilled the condition. And then Elijah was now sent to her. Okay? And there were many lepers in Israel in time of Elisha the prophet. So it's talking about in the time of spiritual, when there were spiritual fathers in the land. In the time of Elijah, we have a witness that the widow of Zarephath made it. And in the time of Elisha, when there was a double portion, we had a witness that Naaman the Syrian, who was not in Israel, made it. And of course, this made the Jews very mad. They were very angry. They took him to the edge of the cliff to throw him off. You know, because it was like, look, if you don't, say no prophet has an honor in his own country. If you don't honor me, it doesn't matter. There are people that will come from the furthest, uttermost parts of the earth. They will benefit from it if you refuse to benefit from it. So he was just telling them. And if they benefited from it, you know, like he says there, and yet not one of them was cleansed by being healed, but only Naaman the Syrian. So there were many lepers when Elisha was around, but only Naaman, all the way from Syria, what you call common unbeliever, he fulfilled the condition, telling you that it's not the tag on the surface, it's the heart that God is looking at. Amen. And the same thing for Elisha. In Israel there was nobody. God had sent him all the way to the widow, all the way in Zarephath. God is saying that if we keep a kind of heart that is a perfect heart that we have been taught over the years in this, no matter where you are, God will locate you. You cannot be hidden. You cannot be. His eyes roll to and fro. He will show himself strong wherever you are. Your location is not a problem. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So, sorry. Yes. Your situation is, God is able to meet you at that point of your need. Amen. And that's what he's looking at. So we see that Jesus spoke of this portion of scripture to illustrate a very important point. God, whose mercies The Bible says in Psalm 145 verse 9, Psalms, his mercies are over all his works. Okay? And who is the defender of the widows? Psalm 68 verse 5. And there were many widows. Could only find one widow willing to receive his provision. Far away in Sarepta. And one leper willing to receive his healing all the way in Syria. It tells us that, one, God is not the problem. He is the solution. The enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy is who? The devil. All right? So God is the solution. The second thing it tells us is that the use of our free will is key to determine whether God can come through for us. So that tells you that thing, that lie, that unconditional love. God's love is undeserved. As Pastor said, it is conditional. These people fulfilled the condition. That's why they got it. And there were people that were so close, yet they were so far away from the condition, from fulfilling the condition. You must understand this. At this point in time that Jesus was talking to these people, you know, he opened the scripture and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. What scripture did he put there? He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, you know, to give sight to the blind. He had not done anything right there. And he was telling them the scripture was fulfilled. How was the scripture fulfilled? He had not done anything right there. So how was it fulfilled? The conditions had been fulfilled. Once the condition is fulfilled, the manifestation is a done deal. It's a sure thing to follow. So God wants us to focus on fulfilling the conditions. Amen. All right? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is this, that God could have provided for Elisha directly. In fact, he did. He did by asking him to go to the brook of Kerith, and a raven fed him and he drank from the brook. But then the brook dried up, taking Elijah to a new level and taking him to a new understanding. And that understanding is an understanding of interdependence. We are interdependent. God would, you cannot force God to do something for you just between you and God alone. The how, the method, is going to come from God. And you have to flow with it. Sometimes God will do it directly, and sometimes God will bind you to somebody else before it comes. It keeps us humble. So that we don't feel as if, you know, I'm the only one, and I'm the no one that is jealous for you, and oh no, and they want to kill me. No, I never. God said, what are you doing here? What are you doing with that kind of heart? What are you doing with kind of heart if you are the only one? You're not the only one. I've got 7,000 in the cave, and you must understand that you have to be dependent on others, as many as I say you'll be dependent on. So you have to be working with me circumspectly. All right, just like Jesus, when he understood and discerned that Lazarus' sickness was not just for Lazarus to be healed. Everybody says, I'll come and heal Lazarus. But you know, God's purpose is more important than our blessing. Amen. God will meet your need, but he will fulfill his purpose along the way. He will fulfill his purpose along the way. So he will tie the meeting of the need so that there is more of him in you. Amen. Because that's his purpose. What's the purpose? Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the will of God. Amen. And once that glory is manifest, then the Bible says in Habakkuk 2:14, that thank you. Let's read it together. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? And then, of course, ultimately, Habakkuk 2:14 says that his purpose is to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. You can put it this way. Demonstrate the principles and powers, the manifold wisdom of God. God wants to do that. And he's going to use things that people have said is not possible. Sons of Ham, amen. As the spearhead, and then others will follow, amen. All right, so we see that this is what God is doing. Now, looking closely at the widow woman, we see some. I'm just going to jump because of time. 1 Kings 17 verses 8 to 16. Just we're not going to read it verse by verse because of time. So, but if we look at it, you will see, of course, that this woman. The Bible says that when God sent Elijah to go and meet her, he met her gathering sticks. No. And as she was gathering sticks, you know, he said, give me a cup of water. As she was going, give me bread. She quickly said, I have just enough, a handful of meal, enough for my son and I'm gathering two sticks. Very important. The two sticks of honesty and humility. That's the kind of heart. Those two sticks that I'm gathering. Okay, yes. And I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Next verse. That was the trajectory that she was going. She was going to eat, she and her son, and die. That was her expectation. Next verse. And Elijah said, fear not. Tell your neighbor, fear not. I don't know what situation you are going through, but God is telling you, fear not. The way it's going to end is not the way it's looking as if it's going to end. And as we say, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after that make for thee and thy son. Next verse. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, He pronounced the word. The barrel. This is kingly. This is kingly authority. When you say something and comes to pass, Bible says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power." Okay. So he said, "For thus said the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste; neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." That little thing that she had left, that she did not know what was the next that was going to happen, God gave her a guarantee. That if she did what he said, that she would have continuously until the day. It doesn't matter whether it was 4 years or 5 years or 6 years or 7 years. It was dependent not on the time. It was dependent on God. God can make a provision for you and I that will not depend on physical circumstances, people helping you. It will determine by God himself making a way for you where there was no way. Hallelujah. Give God a clap offering. Amen. It's God that is doing it. Next verse, quickly. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did what? Eat many days. He fulfilled it. If you read in the Old Testament, he fulfilled it in the New Testament. Amen. So we see that. So you can say this, that she triggered a release clause. You know, in a contract, there's a release clause. If you don't meet the release clause, you don't get what you are supposed to get. We can have an agreement, but the agreement will say, until you do so, so, and so. If you don't do so, like Abraham and God had a covenant. And God built up Abraham to a point where Abraham got to a point where he triggered the release clause. God is building you and I up to a point where we will grow so that we can trigger the release clause. For the glory of God to be poured out into our lives. That's what he's doing. Amen. All right. We thank God for that. All right. He's faithful. Amen. So she tasted of a double portion that Israelites did not enjoy. And that's not our portion in Jesus' name. All right. God will not give our food to the children that are outside the house. Amen. I didn't hear amen. No. Amen. All right. We also see Naaman. Naaman had, he had a relationship with God. Bible says God had been doing, giving him victories. But the key here that you see to understand, whatever obstacle, first of all, there were diplomatic issues. Because he was Syrian. And he was a general. He was a man of influence. So, there were diplomatic issues. God covered that. Then there were social issues. As a leper, he couldn't come. God took care of that. I want to show you that God will take care of hurdles to getting across to meeting your need, provided you are aligned to fulfilling his purpose. That's the key. That's the heart that God is saying, all right? Even his pride, that I should go and jump in this dirty,
dirty River Jordan. Eh? Do you know who I am? I can imagine somebody coming in you know, four or five black jeeps, convoy of black jeeps with four or five motorcycle, and they'll be riding these special bikes, you know, not the kind of bikes, special bikes now that you can hardly sit on it, you know, to and your legs will be touching the ground. And you heard the sound, and then they said that, sir, there is one right near, please, you are going to jump. Can you imagine the insult? That's what happened to Nyaman, you know, but he did. It's not whether he thought, well, you don't matter what he said. The important thing was that he did. The doing is the release clause. Amen. And when he did it, he got the blessing. Amen. Now, in these days of gross darkness, God is going to raise up a group of people that are going to trigger the release clause. Amen. And they will escape the corruption that Adam brought, that Adam, you know, allowed to enter into the human race. And they will step into a new trajectory, the original trajectory that God ordained. You know what trajectory means? I checked that word. It is the path of a projectile flying under the action of giving forces. Hallelujah. I'm not a physics student. I'm not. But I did a little bit of physics. And it tells you that if a projectile is under a particular force, if you change the quantity of the force and the direction of the force, automatically you change the trajectory of the projectile. Where it will end is not where it was supposed to end. Your end is better than your beginning. Your latter end will greatly increase. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Amen. And that's where God is taking us. All right. Now, this manifestation, you know, that he speaks of. Let's look at Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 2. Give it to me in the Amplified. Not the classic one. There's the classic Amplified. There's the other one that is not classic. Just give that as Isaiah 60 quickly, 1 to 2. Okay. Isaiah 60, 1 to 2. The non-classic. Thank you. Not this classic one. The other one. Okay. All right. All right. Just give me what you have, if that's what you have. Thank you. Thank you, Prof. All right. Let's read this. Say, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine. Be radiant. And this is the word I want. With the glory and brilliance of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory and brilliance of the Lord is upon you. Amen. Thank you very much, sir. All right. So that glory and brilliance talks about the intensity with the light is shining. The brilliance. You know, that's the word that came into my heart, you know. All right. So we see that this is the result of internal preparation. We have to prepare our hearts and then practice some things consistently. So it's internal preparation and practice that will produce this, our meeting the release clause. Okay. As we prepare our hearts, you know, and then we keep practicing on a consistent basis with hearts that are, you know, our hearts are keep getting prepared. The Bible says that, let us rejoice and be glad. You know, like song says, that the bride has made herself ready. The bride makes herself ready. There's an internal readiness in her heart. There's an external readiness in her flesh. The power of God flowing in the mortal flesh. We'll see that later. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 26. And let's see. Let's read that. Give that to me in the Amplified. That's the regular Amplified. Let's read together. Therefore, he's able to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally. You didn't say it together. Completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since He's always, I didn't hear you. He's all living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. Next verse. Thank you. Here is the high priest, perfectly adapted to our needs, as was fitting. What? Holy, blameless, unstained by sin, separate from sinners, and exalted higher than the heavens. This is the priesthood that is going to take you and I to save us to the uttermost. Because once the priesthood is changed, then obviously the expectation, the end that God has ordained is this. You and I will become holy, blameless, unstained by sin. Can you imagine yourself unstained by sin? Sin tries to stick on you and it just drops off. Ah, that will be the day. Give God a clap offering. Ah, we have to, just to imagine it, unstained by sin, separated from sinners. It doesn't mean that you are separated from sinners. It just means that you cannot be contaminated by people around you. You cannot be contaminated by people around you. It's possible. It's possible. And then exalted higher than the heavens. That means when you are on, that means when you go, you'll be seated, you truly will be seated with him in heavenly places. No, and because that is a legal position that we have. But he's intending, as our high priest, to make sure that we trigger the release clause to enjoy it vitally. It's not just legal. Vital. So it is from here we begin to sit there in the heavenly places. It's when you are here that we begin to sit there and begin to execute, implement, correct, dominate. Daniel sat there over Babylon and he was dictating and changing kings like you change your socks. And that's just a joke anyway. All right. Well, just changing rulers and praying until it came to pass what was the original trajectory that God had spoken. And we're going to do the same for Nigeria. Right before our very eyes, we are going to do the same for Nigeria. We are, in fact, correction, we are doing the same for Nigeria. Hallelujah. And what a great privilege God has given us. So we see the Lord just operated a more excellent ministry. It's a better covenant than the old. Naaman had no high priest. And he got his own. You and I have the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God a clap offering. Doesn't that tell you that we are going to make it? That is a done deal. That is sure. That is worth putting everything in it. It's worth putting everything in it. Yeah, it cannot fail. It's not an investment that you can come out and say, it didn't work out. You're going to get 100% return because of the high priest that is guaranteeing the investment. Even in the world, people, when you want to make a deal, somebody will guarantee. You know, some people guarantee. So, in the spiritually, God is guaranteeing, all right? So, we see that, all right? Good. Now, we see this, that the Lord in Jesus' ministry is what guarantees our complete, perfect, and permanent transformation into sons. We see the example of Saul. Saul was a murderer. He was a murderer. Zealous. Hypocrite. That's what the Pharisees were. I mean, they were very religious. They had a form, the strictest sect amongst all the sects. You know, yet, you know, I mean, he was so zealous, believing that he was serving God. But we've got this high priest that did it. And that same Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And you think that your problem is a serious one? No. It's not. By the mercy and the grace of God. But let's look at just some legal things so you can understand the depth of what God is doing. Look at Hebrews 7:1-2. Because it's important to understand the Melchizedek priesthood very quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and did what? Blessed him. Next verse. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So we see Melchizedek was a priest and a king. He combined the priestly and the kingly ministries. Okay? And he was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at verse, same Hebrews 7, verse 14 to 17. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So it's not the Aaronic priesthood. All right? Next verse. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Give Apostle Paul a clap offering. Broke it down. Line up online. Next verse. Next verse. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Next verse. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of, where is that? Psalms. So he's connecting scripture together to let us know that Melchizedek that we saw that gave Abraham victories over, Abraham overcame five kings with 317 men, plus himself 318. Can you imagine? Abraham did that. You know, Abraham, the land that God gave Abraham was barren at the beginning. At the beginning was barren. But God said, walk through it. Walk through it. This same land is going to be very fruitful. Walk through it. And as he was walking through it, it became a fruitful land. So much so that the people that were running out of Sodom and Gomorrah, they could come to that place. It tells you that there is nothing God cannot do. On a personal level as an individual, on a family level, on a national level, and on a global level. Nothing, that's the whole idea. That's the meaning of uttermost. There is no hurdle. It just once the people that are on the ground are on the same thing, yeah, the same page as far as faith and as far as dedication and as far as commitment, God will release the resources that will take them over. And they will do what will astound the world. That's why the Bible says, then that have turned the world upside down. The other way is the other way around. Then I turn the world right side up because it's upside down now. Okay, all right. Now we know, of course, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Bible says he ever lives to make intercession. So it is that intercession that he makes. It's intercession that he makes through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26. We see that. Let's look at that. Romans 8:26. Thank you. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, it's calling it, but it's not, is himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next verse. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. So we see that, and we know that the Spirit does not speak of himself. John 16. That he will take of mine and he will show it to you. I don't want to go to too many scriptures because of time. And look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Next 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Thank you. Ye also, that's you and I now, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a what? Spiritual house and holy priesthood. So we are part of that Melchizedek. We're not part of the Aaronic. We are part of the Melchizedek priesthood. To offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek.
So when we pray, we are releasing that Melchizedek priesthood ministry. You need to understand, it's not new things that we're doing, but it's doing it with understanding and with faith so that we can activate, you know, by faith, you know, the release of light and power and strength that God wants, so we can walk in actively and deliberately and intentionally to be able to bring about the change that God wants. Amen. All right. So we see, of course, we know that in the Old Testament, they had sin offering, they had meal offering, they had peace offering, and they had burnt offering. And we have the equivalents. We have the equivalents in the Melchizedek priesthood. We look at that towards the how. Now, why is this important? Why is this message important? God wants us to know that there is nothing that stands between us and our destiny in Christ because of our faithful and merciful high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Not your country of birth. The day is coming. The day is coming when the green passport will have, hallelujah. I know the way it looks. Now that green passport, you know, when people are bringing out different colors, blue, red, you know, different color, you will put it boldly and say, "Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, ma'am. You're Nigerian? Yes, I am. Yes, oh. Yes, oh." Because God will do a new thing. And the ears of them that hear it will tingle. It will tingle. And respect. Just like, just you know, people are fickle. People are fickle. Some negative happens and people are like, oh. And then, you know, some other thing happens. That's how people are. But when you have several multiple miracles in multiple sectors going on consistently, there's something about you Nigerians. A people called out. A people terrible from their beginning. Yes, sir. Yes. And we'll carry it with humility. Amen. We won't say, should be used to say that we are the corruption capital of the world. No, forget about that. Let God answer. The best answer for a fool is silence. And then when God now answers, it's better than to be arguing. When you say, I would love to be Nigerian, we give God the glory. It's coming. Amen. By the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. All right. So nothing's going to hold us back. Not our background, not our mistakes, not our level of education. Because Romans 4:16 says that, therefore it is by faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure. To what? Is it some of the seed? Some is all. Not only that which is available, but that which is through the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It's by faith. And number two, it is by use in the weapons of our warfare. Look at Romans 8:33. Thank you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. That's the only verse. It is God that justification is both legal by the blood of Jesus. The blood just removed the legal hurdle so that we can now approach unto God. The life of God, that right standing that we possess gives us peace with God. Then there is now a flow of divine life from God to us in that state of right standing that is converted to spiritual power. So by the blood of Jesus, by the word we receive, using the word of God in prayer to receive the life of God, and by praying in the Spirit, you can convert what looks like a negative situation, you can, by the blood, word, and spirit, you can change it using that trajectory, using that Melchizedek priesthood, the understanding of it. It's very important to understand that. So we overcome every legal and vital battle. Then the second reason, the first one is that nothing can stop you. Tell me, but nothing can stop me.
nothing will stop me. The only thing that can stop us is inside. And we must remove it. That's the essence of this message. It's unbelief. It's doubt. It's, you know, double. Okay, he can. Maybe he can't. Yes, he can. He will. That's it. That's it. Settled. Then the next one is Zechariah 3:1-5. God wants to, after having raised up this high priest, he now wants us individually to begin to grow up. And those of us that are married and our fathers in our home and our homes, he now wants us to take our place as high priests and strengthen that high priestly ministry in the home. Amen. And if you are the one that is a Christian in your office, guess what? You are the high priest. In school, you are the high priest. In the office, you are the high priest. So you guess what? God has a family of high priests. High priest company. A family of high priests that are operating, male and female. There's no sex here. It's gender equality, gender, everything is gender okay. Amen. Yes, because it's doing the work. Deborah was right there. Amen. So the key that God is saying is that we can stand in our place as fathers, because Satan specifically attacks the father ministry, because he knows what can come out of it, what God has ordained, because God's plan has always been the same. Melchizedek was in the time of Abraham. That's in Genesis. All the way down to... So God knew what he was doing. But Satan is trying to weaken that mystery, but he has failed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at it. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Very quickly. Verse 1. Zechariah 3. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, the type of somebody in charge of a church, in charge of a family, in charge of, you know, even the church of God, you know, standing before the angel of the Lord, like a messenger, the apostolic messenger. Okay, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. He's resisting. This is why we sleep during prayer. There is a guy, it will not be Satan personally, there is a spirit assigned to make you and I sleep in the morning. Is to resist. Is to make it difficult. And you have a headache. The headache just disappears after. Once it's 6 o'clock, 6:30, the headache will disappear. You're laughing, sir. It's not funny. It's a strategic opposition. Because he understands that that's where the power is coming from. So he deliberately wants to ensure that he weakens it. And, you know, and many times, you know, he as he stands there to resist, you know, because it's weak, then he can, once the head is weak, you know, then he can affect the people that are under. And then he can pass it down generations. That's what he does, but he has failed. Next verse. Amen. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? This one has been chosen, has been separated. You know, brethren, you know, when you make up your mind to go all the way with God, you just set yourself out as a branch that was plucked out. And you make it, Satan doesn't have any right. No, but it's important for us to know it, because he knows it, but he doesn't respect any law. So, but it's important for you and I to know it, that as a child of God, he doesn't have the right to come in and go out. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Rebuke you over our homes in Jesus' name under covering. Rebuke you over our children in Jesus' name. Rebuke you over all that pertains to us, our finances in Jesus' name. Rebuke you over our families in Jesus' name. Very important, okay, to understand that. Next verse. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. That was why he had the boldness to be resisting him. Because his garments were filthy. It's the same Satan that contaminated the garment. But it's just that he contaminated with Joshua's willing, just like Adam. You know, he did deception that made Joshua, you know, render his own garments filthy. And then use it now against Joshua. That's what the devil does. He tells you that, you know, it's nothing will happen. You can do this. You know, everybody else is doing it. Nothing will come out of it. Then when you do it, you're going, you are so bad. How can you do this? You know, is this what your people like you that are supposed to be serious with God? Is this what they are doing? You know, he's the enemy. You know, he will come to condemn. You know, he will come to accuse. He will come to remind of our faults and our mistakes and our missteps. But God is saying, shut up. God is saying that it's not your business. God is saying that this is my own business. And these filthy garments can be changed. Why? Because there is an angel. Hallelujah. That's a type of spiritual fathers who are operating in their place. So they know what to do. So in this case now, you know, Zechariah was one operating as the angel and was telling that, no, there was an angel. Okay, so now Joshua also closed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Next verse. And he answered and spake unto him that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So we see here that that filthiness through weights and sins can be taken away. Amen. It can be taken away. And guess what? It's not any big thing that somebody in authority, you know. I mean, it's important to understand that certain things, yes, you need people in authority over to pray for you. But the truth of the matter is that even the ordinary saints can remit one another's sins. Look at John 20, verse 23. John 20. Whosoever sins you remit, they are what? Remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are what? Retained. So if you remit somebody's sins, their garments are clean. So I can forgive your sins without you knowing and clean spots in your garment and render a garment that was filthy clean and restore right standing. That's what he's telling us here. That filthiness can be taken away, you know, and we can then maintain right standing. So you and I can now maintain our garment and make sure our garment is clean. Okay, that's the will of God for us. Okay, all right. And then we can then go further. Let's go back to Zechariah, verse 4. Thank you. And I will clothe it with the change of raiment. Now, this change of raiment, as Pastor has taught us, you know, in that honoring fathers, that article, you know, that change of raiment is at two levels. The first one is confession of sin. Bible says, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our sins. We can also confess the sins of others. That's what the Bible is talking about, calling it remitting sins. Okay, so we remit sins of others, we confess sins of our own. It's the same thing, you know, just different words. All right? Now, another understanding of a change of raiment is when the garment, the physical body has been changed and the sin nature that was inside the physical body has been totally removed. That's a new garment. So you have a new garment at two levels. Right standing with God that allows you to go before God boldly and confidently so you can now pray, you know. And then the point where through right doing and prayer and right doing and on obedience to God, you can cleanse out the sin nature. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us cleanse ourselves from all all filthiness. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So you can perfect. What is holiness? It's an absence of sin. It is when the nature of God, the life of God, is present in the spirit, is present in the soul, is present in the body. That is a new garment. And that is a reward of the overcomer. One of the rewards of the overcomer in Revelation 3:5. Let's quickly look at that. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in what? White raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and the angels. He's talking about a garment that is without spot. A garment that is not spotted with the flesh. Amen? All right. And then number 5. That's verse 5 now. That's Zechariah 3:5. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now that fair mitre that's on the head of the high priest, a prof is already ahead. All right, look at Exodus 28:36. All right. Exodus 28:36. That fair mitre on the head. Exodus there. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, what we put on it, holiness to the Lord. Amen. So that mitre is talking about. He's talking about right thinking. He's talking about the fact that this person has, from a place where he did not have right standing with God, he has now, his sins have been remitted. He's now coming to God's presence. He's now, through using the blood, the word, and the spirit, beginning to remove the sin nature from the spirit, being born again, from the soul, from the body, you know, and he's now beginning to affect his thinking. So he now has what the Bible calls in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the mind of Christ. So he begins to think like God. He knows what God wants to do. The person can see what is the will of God. So in his family, he can look at his children, and as he prays, God will be talking to him. Because he has that mitre on his head. As the high priest, is a positional thing. Once he's there and he's taking his place, he's going to be operating at that level. And everybody else has to listen to what he has to say. That's the high priest. Everybody else is a priest. But the high priest, he directs everything. These are, if you have an army, these are the generals. They determine strategy. Everybody else fights. But they determine the strategy with which they fight. So that we can get the victory. That's the will of God, okay? So it's important to understand that God wants to ensure that our homes are strong. That's the essence of all we are going through now. Our homes must be strong. Even if your home is not strong because of the background, you as an individual saint, you can become strong. Amen. That's what God is saying. You can become strong. And when you eventually marry, the home that you make or you build will be a strong one. Amen. And if for some reason the father is not taking their place, then the mothers can take the place and they will operate in that place effectively. But God is asking fathers to repent. And he's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the children to the fathers. To show you, because there is so much to gain. It's more than just, let me just do what God said I should do. There is so much blessing that is attached to it. You know, and God wants us to understand that you know, if you do what God said you should do, God will far exceed our expectations. You know, and at this level, you know, it's important to mention is that it doesn't matter, you know, what our children have done, you know, because sometimes, I work with children, you know, when I say children, young men and women, you know, because they have a mind of their own, you know, and but this is the power of the ministry. This is the power of the high priestly ministry. That on your knees, with the high priest Lord Jesus, under covering of spiritual fathers, there is no child that can do what they want. Oh, yes. No fathers can remit the sins of their children. In the Old Testament, if a daughter makes a vow, a father can cancel it. And it's canceled. Now, that's the benefit of standing in one's place. Because you can, by remote, you can control what's going on. Amen. And that's the will of God. And we see here how Joshua was limited. He was in a bind. He was supposed to be the high priest, but here he was in a bind. But God had an angel that set Joshua free. And then Joshua now was supposed to now set the children of Israel free. Look at verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, and upon one stone shall be seven eyes. He's talking there about the revelation of the Holy Spirit that God gives to him. Okay, and in this case, now in our own case, the revelation of the love of God that will produce the glory of God. So he's talking about, say, behold, the stone I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Talking about the seven spirits of God. Okay, and behold, I will engrave the graving thereof. So the thinking will be the same. What Joshua is thinking. So he's going to raise up a company. So in every family, you know what will happen? What is in the father will be distributed to everybody else in the house. So everybody will be on the same page. That's what he's saying. There'll be unity in the family. In the sense that not everybody will be thinking the same thing, but the different pieces of the jigsaw, the father will be controlling it remotely. His power. So even though he doesn't have all the picture, the one that this person is supposed to pick up, they will pick it up. Because the father will make sure that their garments are clean so that whenever they pray the prayer that they are supposed to pray, they will pick up the little they are supposed to pick up and they will bring it and add it so that they will have a complete whole. Amen. And that engraving thereof said a lot of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Now, he's talking about that land there is symbolic. He's talking about the family. He's talking about the individual. He's talking about the nation. Shall nation be born at once? Yes. So what God is doing is that he's raising up an army. An army of high priests with priests that are submitted to them. So together, they form a Joel's army. And they have the same mind. That's why the Bible says that there has never been the form like it. There will never be the form like it. They are one of a kind. One in a lifetime type of army. That is what is behind this. You know, when you have this kind of army, I want this blessing. I want that. It's not a problem. The army, Bible says nothing escapes them. They climb in through the window like a thief. Nothing can stop them. They are unstoppable. So this kind of army that he's talking about, your blessings will come as an overflow. The real thing is the purpose of God. So when the purpose of God is going on for Nigeria, that's why, you know, brethren, give God a clap offering. Give God a clap of. You are not giving it because you don't know the reason why. Yes.
You know what? This good morning, Jesus, it has, God is using it to remove the garments of high priests. You know, mommy keeps praying for the demasculation of the fathers in the home and restoring back honor, authority, and power to fathers in the home. Amen. So it's a strengthening of the home, which is a strengthening of the church, which is a strengthening of the army, so that the army can change the nation. And when the army changes the nation, then the next is to go from, once we have one done, then we now go from one to all the other nations of the earth. That's what God is saying. Amen. So it's important, brethren, as you begin to close, looking at the how, about what we do in the morning when we pray. It's important to, brethren, you need to sit up. When I say sit up now, I'm talking to you and myself. I'm speaking figuratively. And I'm speaking literally. Sit up, sit up. You know? It's a desire. How do you do it? By patience, continuance in well-doing. We seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That's what we're seeking for. We're not seeking for... I mean, physical things have their place, and it's important to have them. Do you understand what I mean? But when you seek for the kingdom, the other physical things are going to follow the kingdom. They're going to follow the kingdom. It's the wrong order to be seeking. So when we are praying and in good morning, Jesus, that should be our focus. You will find that there will be a gush of grace and life that will come through your being. As you keep trying, and you, after a while, you will be asking myself, when was the last time I slept? You will not be able to remember. Because God will be talking to you. You yourself, you will be on a roll. Yes, that's what God is doing, is to take our high priestly ministry seriously, because it is through that high priestly ministry God is saving us to the uttermost. So how do we do it? We cultivate an honest heart. Honest heart is a heart that is willing to know the will of God. Okay? Is willing to receive what God would receive. And when God has now spoken, that heart is willing to do. So the willingness, so the honest heart is teachable. And the humble heart is the one that does it. So they go together, really. So you, the Bible says, if any man will do his will, he doesn't have to have done it. The willingness to do it, the Bible says he will know. John 7:17. That honesty of heart is extremely important, because we receive mercy, and that mercy helps us to stay awake, helps us to pray. And I'm saying this because good morning Jesus is a specially divinely ordained and divinely designed opportunity for us to gather together in the morning, so that we can generate power that is far more than we could have generated individually. And then that power is distributed. So no. If what you needed was 50 and the best you can do was 25, you know, as you pray, you get 65. Far more than what you needed. But you have to play your part. You have to be alert. You have to be engaged. You have to want to. And I know we keep getting reminded. We keep getting encouraged every step of the way. Okay? So it's very important. Now that honest and humble heart is what helps us now to begin to tap into recognizing spiritual fathers. Because, you know, like if you look at the example the Lord Jesus gave, you know, where he was giving the example of Naaman the Syrian. How could Naaman all the way in Syria, how could he recognize that Elisha was the person? You know, he didn't talk to Elisha personally. It's just telling you that God will connect hearts. He will connect. It's a heart connection. So if a person is willing, so it's your heart that will be emitting signals.
No, that the Holy Spirit and the angels will now use to connect us to the right people that we need to be connected to. Amen. And it's not a physical connection. It's a spiritual connection. It's a spiritual connection. It's spiritual. And now when that spiritual connection is there, then we can begin to see physical effects and consequences. But first of all, it is spiritual. Amen. And so Satan cannot stop it. He cannot be organized. You know, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. So begin to close. Thank you. Thank you for John 7, 17. 1 Thessalonians 5. And we beseech you, brethren. So he's talking to them. This is Paul talking to Thessalonians. He's talking to them. They are Christians. To know them. He's not talking about knowing them, knowing their name. He's talking about knowing them, knowing their function, knowing and appreciating what they're doing and why they're there, and taking full advantage of it. Know them which labor among you. The first thing you know them by is by their labor. They're not people that are talking. They're people that are doing. And by their labor. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Next verse. And then esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And the consequence is, and be at peace among yourselves. Amen. So we now obey those instructions by praying and walking in the Spirit diligently. Now, the walking in the Spirit is important. Let's look at Luke 21, 34 to 36. Because good man Jesus does his part, but then there's a part where you don't have to sustain. Because whatever you generate in the morning, as the day wears on, we have to amplify it. Amen. All right? And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. That's in the course of the day. So that day come upon you unawares. Next verse. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Next verse. Watch ye therefore and pray sometimes. Only in the morning. He's talking about always. At least four times a day. You know, and then at every opportunity, and then in every temptation. Opportunity, Genesis 24, 27. No, and then in every temptation, Matthew 26, 41. It's very important to understand that that is key. That you pray, frequently, during the day. We have those prayers four times a day. We pray a prayer for humility. We pray a prayer for love, for wisdom. Pray a prayer for love. And then we pray the prayer to for the fruit of the Spirit, which is also the love of God. But now, they're spoken particularly those fruits of the Spirit, because some are in your will, some are in your body, and all that, so that you can release the power to be able to obey God and trigger the release clause, because the consistent obedience is what triggers the release clause. Amen? Amen. And Bible says that when we do that, we grow in it. As we practice it, we grow in effectiveness, and that's where these the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood, that's where they come in. We have the sin offering. No, Father, we confess our sins as a sin offering. In Jesus' name, we have life. That's a meal offering. Amen. Then just say we have life. Then we do it. We now praise and worship God. That's a what? Peace offering. Amen. That's a peace offering. Because you now praise and worship God. And yes, we praise and worship God. That's a peace offering. And then when we now pray with all kinds of prayer, with travail, and we're releasing the power of the Holy Spirit to burn, as it were, the sin nature, which is what the burnt offering was. The burnt offering was put on the altar and it was burnt completely, by the fire of God. It was symbolizing the day that there will arise Christians who will generate the power of the Holy Spirit so that it will burn away all the sin nature in their flesh completely. And that flesh will be unresponsive to sin and responsive to God.
So as we also those prayers, as anytime you are praying those prayers, you are offering the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood. And it's the Lord Jesus praying through the Holy Spirit, praying through us, Lord, have mercy on us. By that single Lord, have mercy on us, you are releasing the blood. You are releasing the life. Amen? Amen. You have already released three things. You are releasing the blood, you are receiving the life, and then you are ready to pray in the Spirit so that you can pray and release the power of God. And that power of God will as it were, establish. So you're talking about those. So we're talking about releasing those offerings and offering them consistently in the course of the day. Consistently in the course of the day. And as we offer them consistently, we begin to see the effect in our lives. We begin to see the effect in our thought life, the effect in our sin rates, the effect in our love walk, the effect in our... And then, of course, these things have their physical correspondent benefits, because it begins to affect members of your family. You begin to see people changing around you. Amen. You begin to see things happening around you, blessings happening around you, because once sin is removed from the way and the power of God is available, what's the next thing? It's blessings. Bible says, if they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So the hindrance, Bible says, my hand is not too short to save. The hindrance has always been sin. And the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood remove that hindrance out of the way so that God can reach out and touch you and I wherever we are. Change the trajectory to what it's supposed to be and bring down the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. The sin offering. Father, we confess our sins. The peace offering. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In Jesus' name, we have life. The meal offering. Using that life to praise and worship God. I think that mixed that up the last time I mentioned. And what I meant in my heart is the meal offering is the praise and worship. We're going to do that now. By the mercy and the grace of God. And then the burnt offering. Receiving the life of God using the prompts in great measure. So we can then pray with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit within an hour to burn up the sin nature. This is what is saving us to the uttermost. And anyone who will obey these instructions will trigger with consistent practice over time. Release clause. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Take my moments. Take my hand.
swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee.
Take my voice.
Take my voice and let me sing.
Always,
always, only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Filled with messages from thee.
Take my will,
take my will.
Let's raise up our hands to God. Put our left hand on our heart as we pray to God. We pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that you have given us a high priest, holy, blameless, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens, whoever liveth to make intercession. And by his petition and intercession, you are saving us to the uttermost to fulfill all that you have promised. The promise that you will possess the gates of our enemies, and the promise that we will be a blessing unto the nations of the world. So, Heavenly Father, take my will, take my heart, take my hands, take my voice. Take my eyes, take every part of me, so that every gate in my life will be taken over by you as I allow intelligently the ministry of the high priest through prayer and intercession to gradually remove the sin nature that is residual in my soul and in my body, so that I will have a white raiment, and my mouth, my heart, my eyes, my voice, my hands, and my feet will be instruments in your hand to accomplish all of your will and cause to pass all that you have written concerning me in the volume of the book. In Jesus' name, I receive mercy to be faithful, grace to endure labor, hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapakakanto menebenekant raso sekelebebedikant roseke konga rasakango kolebebetont rosteka shekanto baba bekelebeben bekeleveberia rapakose jenge debebena ronge debebanda robokokotea jokole belala babakasot rokoto jenga namato menge debeberia rababababakatobesa rabababako Menge de beberica cadavamana, Rabakan, Menge de beberia, Manga de vocosote, Benge de beberica naman. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need healing, let's just raise up that hand. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, in my love, there I am in the midst of them. And he's here in our midst. So we're going to send that word of healing. Father, we just send your word of healing. Lord God, into every heart, mind, in emotions, Lord, into physical bodies, Lord, to establish, Lord, your healing power, and to break the power of infirmity, of worry and anxiety, Lord, of distraction, Lord, so that, Lord, soundness of mind, healing of our physical bodies will be made manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.